702. Call Refilwe on 011-883-0702.
Good morning, Nikki Bush. Always a pleasure to speak to you.
Good morning, Refilwe. What a beautiful day it is outside this morning.
I drove here in the dark, so I can't attest to that. I'll take your word for it. So, Nikki, let's talk about this idea of celebrating Outdoor Classroom Day, right? That's set to take place on the 21st of May. But let's talk more about this. What is the day premised on, and why is it celebrated globally?
Actually, there are two outdoor classroom days every year. There's one in November and there's one in May. Mm. And really, it's a drive to bring play to the forefront, to ensure that children get to go outdoors, to play, to move, to experience nature. We need our children to be exposed to the outdoors for at least an hour a day. And I think I've mentioned on this program more than once that even prisoners in jail get taken outside for an hour a day. And when the Outdoor Classroom Day first started, they were doing research into schools and recess time, break time. Mm. How much time were children spending outdoors around the world? And they were finding that in different countries, of course, it was a different amount of time. And what they're pushing for is for children to get at least 60, but pushing for 90 minutes of outdoor time every day, because it's an important aspect of self-discovery. Children experience themselves very, very differently. In fact, I'm sure you remember at school when you were taken on an excursion and like to the little dam down the road or to the zoo or things like that. It brings learning alive in a completely different way, in a really multi-sensory way. Over and above that, though, of course, there's the sunshine, the vitamin D, and children thrive on space, wide open spaces. And so much of their lives today, let alone during COVID-19, are spent living in small spaces, small apartments, small flats, no gardens. And increasingly, the big house and the garden is a thing of the past. Mm-hmm. And so there is this move to make sure that we take children to the parks that we do have. And that has to be a very conscious effort, because parents are busy today. So often they don't take their children to the local park on a daily basis or even a weekly basis. And I even find that people who live in estates where there are beautiful parks, they don't even take their children necessarily to the park.
Yeah.
So it's about being conscious and about advocating for outdoor activities.
Yeah. I mean, we live in, you know, all the various sort of scenarios and environments that children, South African children, grow up in and get educated in are so disparate and so disconcerting, right? So you go from the very privileged, those children in beautiful estates who for their own social reasons aren't encouraged by their parents to spend time outdoors. Parents are too busy chasing that money or working and, you know, stressed and anxious and, you know, being outside and the quality of life from the child's perspective like that is not necessarily taken into consideration. And then you move to the other end where children are growing up in squatter camps and living in high and densely populated environments, and there's quite frankly nowhere to play, never mind that park, right? And then, of course, one more thing
is security.
Absolutely.
You know, even if we do live in safe environments, we don't allow our children to go to the park by themselves to explore. You know, people here in their 70s and 80s talk about the fact that they would leave the house in the morning and not come back till dinner, and nobody worried about them. And they would land up, you know, in the local park or the river or wherever, exploring. And I think that's the word we need to.
So exactly. So I think we need to drill down on what it is that's so important about Outdoor Classroom Day, because of course the other unfortunate and depressing element is that so many South African children have never even had that indoor classroom experience, and yet we can hardly say that, you know, their learning is so much better or better enriched because you're learning at a tree. Of course it's not, right? So what is the fundamental mental element that we're trying to bring out when we celebrate Outdoor Classroom Day. And you touched on it, that expansiveness, that excitement. Mm. But, you know, what are those other things that we as parents, since children have been under lockdown with us, can bring to learning and just being at home? What can we bring to this experience and take the humdrum, the boredom, the frustration, and even the, you know, even the anxiety from this time for children?
Well, that's actually very interesting. What you just said about anxiety is critical at this time. When children get outside, of course, they experience a sense of freedom and liberation. The outdoors can reduce anxiety, reduce frustration and irritation in their emotional lives, because I think those three things are quite high at the moment. I've been chatting to parents in the past week about, you know, who live in big homes, and they're just saying they're all going nuts because everyone's talking. There's so much noise right now. You know, even if you've got, you know, a reasonable size home, and they're finding that one child is going to do his schoolwork outside on the patio, dad's working in the kitchen, mum's working in her office, and the daughter's working in the family room. You know, that there need to be a park, there needs to be some space. And of course, you know, nature provides a rich tapestry of textures and colors and smells and sounds that feed that multi-sensory interaction with the world. And I think it's really interesting how Outdoor Classroom Day has pivoted for this coronavirus time, because they've realized, of course, that people can't necessarily get outside right now. Sure. So they've reframed it as, the theme this year is not playing in nature, but playful nature. Mm-hmm. And I think it's quite an interesting play on words, as in celebrating our playful nature and bringing nature inside, connecting to nature through play. And that can be done anywhere, whether it's in your garden, if you're lucky enough to have one, on your balcony, or even in your living room. Yeah. So we can share some ideas now about how to do that.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I mean, in many ways, I think this is quite a challenging exercise for those parents who are stressed themselves, those parents who are anxious themselves, or those parents that, you know, don't often take the time to unwind and do that playing, or try to view, are not able to view life through that that excited, playful lens that children can access so naturally, you know?
Well, I think that's where we have to take a leaf out of our children's books. And I always say about parenting, it's not just about what your children learn, but it's what you discover about yourself through your children. Mm. And play and being playful does help you to press the pause button, to slow down a little bit. So here are some ideas. You could do play a game of outdoor bingo. Now that you can go for a walk, who would be the first person to spot a black bug or a brown bird or a white flower? So that's about the power of observation. Mm-hmm. So when you do go on that morning walk, and I see families, you know, on their walks, or kids on bikes or whatever, just a nice thing to do. I know lots of adults have taken up bird watching at the moment because more birds are landing in their gardens than ever before. Sure. I heard somebody say the other day that in the first few weeks of lockdown, they spotted 43 different birds in their garden. I mean, that's extraordinary observation, you know. And then if you're going for a walk, take a nature bag or a basket and collect natural items like pebbles or fallen leaves or feathers. And right now it's autumn. And autumn is a beautiful time for collecting things. I remember when my children were little, we had a big tree in our garden that used to shed leaves in autumn. And we always used to have an autumn dinner, the last dinner under the stars before it got really cold. And that's eating under the stars, not under the patio, under the stars. And to decorate the table, the kids used to go and collect autumn leaves. And then, you know how you get those skewers for a kebab? You know, when you buy a kebab.
Those wooden skewers,
Okay, those wooden skewers, and sometimes they're metal skewers. And they used to get the skewers, and they used to literally skewer all these leaves, like about 30 leaves on a skewer. And they used to make these skewer flower arrangements for our table. So we'd have these lovely decorations of condensed autumn leaves on skewers, scattered around the table. It was so gorgeous. So that was multi-sensory, the crackle of the leaves. And even if you're lucky enough to have a pile of leaves in your garden and you've got a little toddler, rake up those leaves into a pile and let them walk through the leaves and feel and hear the rustling sounds and the crackling sounds. Let them kick those leaves into the air. Throw them up in the air and watch them, you know, falling down on top of them. There's another idea here around this outdoor classroom day.
Sure.
And it would be to make a nature wind chime out of things like twigs and pine cones or shells or anything natural that you've got lying around. Maybe you went to the beach 6 months ago and you've got some shells. How could you turn that into a wind chime and hang it somewhere where it could catch the wind? Or using old pots and pans to concoct mud pies and garden soup. So if you've got a bit of space, create a little mud kitchen in the corner of your garden or yard. You know, there's always that patch where the grass doesn't grow.
Sure.
And it's actually really, really fun to give your children permission to break the rules and create a mud spot where they can do anything they like. But then there are those children who, of course, don't have access to getting outside and don't have a garden. So here's another observation activity, and it's called the view from my window.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps children to explore the world they can see from different rooms in the house or the flat or the apartment.
Mm.
So you start just standing at the window and gazing out there and asking questions like, who else is out there?
Mm.
And what can you see? What plants can you see? What animals can you see?
Yeah.
What is the weather like? And which is your favorite view out of those two or three views? Which is your favorite view and why?
Mm. So maybe tracking activity or changes throughout the day and just, you know, making note of those things. So once again, just highlighting those powers of observation. What happens in my neighborhood at this time, you know, of the morning versus this time of the afternoon?
Yes, that's exactly what I was about to say. They could also keep a little record, a journal of what they discover. Note how the things that they see day by day actually change. And I'm thinking right now of playing something like word board. So it's a word game. And if I said to you, Rafael, where let's play word board, and we're going to use words to do with the weather.
Sure.
So I would say autumn. What would you say? It's an association game.
Oh, that are falling leaves. I hope it's not a one word thing.
What could be in it? So falling leaves.
Yeah.
I'm going to say orange.
Mm.
What would you say to orange?
Burnt.
I'll say brown.
Grass.
And so we can talk about prickly and rustly and crunchy. And it's just bring your child's attention to what's actually happening. It could be crisp and cool. So many different words to describe our sensory perception of the world around us.
Yeah.
And what about using a cell phone?
Mm.
A cell phone to take photographs of what you see. Now that would be the little explorer who's capturing information visually. And then what are you going to do with that? How about learning how to create an iMovie?
Sure.
About your environment and maybe putting music to it and putting words to it. What about writing a poem? There's so many different ways we can actually extrapolate this. Words, sounds, a movie, a song, creating, as you said, mud pies. What about if you were stuck indoors but you could get hold of a cardboard box and your child could create some butterfly wings and decorate them and
absolutely.
Wear them?
Yeah.
I think we've just got to break out of what we think is normal right now. We've got to find other ways. You could just dress up in autumn colors or dress up in yellow for the sunshine and brighten somebody's day. And they're even talking about children who are stuck in apartments just standing on the balcony in their bright yellow clothes and waving at the neighbors and making and sharing a bit of sunshine.
And making connection with someone
making
different.
Making connection.
Yeah.
And maybe using recycled materials from home to highlight the impact of litter on nature.
Yeah, I quite like those suggestions. I think the opportunity to, you know, turn things into a teachable or a learning moment is fantastic. But it also just means, you know, as parents or those guardians or caregivers, you know, just structuring that half hour of fun, you know, and time for bonding and exploring with the kid, just I think changes the texture and the feel of an entire day, you know, because I can imagine that there's so many people who are just busy working or doing other things, taking care of the important things, right? The day-to-day things, whether it's preparing meals or cleaning the house or, you know, doing the things that, you know, quote unquote, need to be done. But this also does need to be done because, my goodness, the frustration levels must be really intense for a child who's been housebound and locked indoors for weeks.
Yeah,
now.
It's a big thing. Oh, and I forgot to mention, of course, there are those online virtual game drives that you can go on at the moment. That would be a nice addition as well. Even though you're not getting out, but it's an observation activity and we can have conversations. And maybe we can also reminisce about the time when we did go to the game reserve last year or 6 months ago or well, however long ago. We went on a game drive and we saw. And you can actually do that based on the virtual game drive that you do. Then over the dinner table, talk about instead of I went to the shops and we bought, it's we went on a game drive and we saw.
Yeah.
And it's a memory game. And I think that would be a really nice way of combining a virtual experience with then an interactive verbal listening experience over the dinner table to create a new memory with your children. We went on a virtual game drive and we saw.
We traveled from the safety of our home. Now, Anna, why would I call you that? Nikki, the fantastic thing that you do, of course, every week is that you give us those boredom buster activities as well. And you have got what for us this week? For those people that have completely run out of ideas or just want to yank the kids away from the TV or the constant screen time.
Yeah, well, I thought this would be quite fun and sensory. So it's called Astronaut Space Pudding. And it is a really fun activity. You need a Ziploc sandwich bag or Ziploc sandwich bags, and you need some instant pudding and some milk. And in a Ziploc sandwich bag, you put a tablespoon of instant pudding with 100 mils of milk. Then you zip the bag up tightly, and you get your child to shake, shake, shake for a minute or two. And they like to do that anyway, so there's lots of movement. And what you see is that the obviously the mixture mixes up, becomes a liquid, and then it starts thickening. And once it starts thickening, you put the space pudding packets into the fridge to set, because that's what instant pudding does.
Sure.
And then once it's set, you cut a tiny hole in the bottom corner of each bag, and then the pudding can now be squeezed out of the hole and eaten just like an astronaut does when they're in space. You know, all their food is in those compressed packets. It's fun. It's different. It's going to make you position you as a parent as a source of magic, wonder, and surprise because you're breaking the rules. You're doing something different. Why not?
And and you know what? For those parents, obviously, we're locked down. You can't. You know, kids can't go down the road to whoever it is who's got a little spaza shop in their home or who sells Ama Ice right in their neighborhood.
Yeah.
So why not go ahead and if it's not pudding, then just grab a packet or a Ziploc bag or a plastic packet and make Ama Ice at home. And it's never too cold to eat a nice flavored ice at home anyway. So there's the addition of that as well. Let's talk about the stripy jelly. What have you got going on with that?
Well, I think jelly is one of the most versatile and fun things that every parent needs to keep in their pantry. I'm not sure if you used to do this as a child, but a big treat for me was if my mum allowed us to have a packet of jelly, we just used to pour it into the palm of our hands and lick it. You know, it's like flavored sugar. And, of course, once your saliva gets on it, it changes color. It becomes a darker color. And it was absolutely decadent. But then with stripy jelly, this is the ultimate in delayed gratification because you need at least three packets of jelly, and it takes at least 3 hours for each jelly layer to set. So you start off with, say, the red layer. And jelly is a science experiment. It goes from granular to liquid when you add the boiling water.
Sure.
To then a gel, a solid. So it's fascination at its absolute best. And your child gets to learn how to, obviously a young child is not going to work with boiling water. You are going to do that.
Sure.
But they go through the whole recipe of how to make jelly. Pour it into the bowl, stick it in the fridge, wait for 3 hours, take it out, make another color, pour it over the top, put it in the fridge, wait 3 hours. This is an exercise in patience, and it's going to take a whole day before you can actually eat your jelly. And if you want to change the texture slightly and the color, you can do a creamy layer where instead of adding all the cold water, you put half cold water and half cream. And then you get a much creamier consistency and the color difference. You get like a pastel color.
Exactly.
So it makes this beautiful rainbow thing. And I was thinking of jelly and all the vibrant colors of nature you can bring indoors with your stripy jelly. And all of these activities are available at toytalk.co.za. And we haven't told people how to get hold of Outdoor Classroom Day if they want
Let's
more
Let's do it.
Ideas.
Give us those links.
Right. So the South African website is where schools and parents go to sign up, and it's outdoorclassroomday.co.za, and they're also on Facebook.
All right, fantastic stuff. Nikki, thank you so much. Always a pleasure, and we will chat to you again next week, Saturday. But thank you so much for those links. I mean, there's just so much, so many ideas and activities that parents can take a look at Outroom Classroom Day.
Thanks, Rafiwe.
All right, fantastic. That's Nikki Bush, our resident parenting expert, author, writer, author, speaker, as well as human potential expert as well. You can check her out online.